Okay, good morning. If you're here last week, I'm doing a kind of a two-part series that's a bigger series that's known only to myself. But we're looking at Leviticus chapter 23. And the thing I want to say about Leviticus, because, you know, most people, if you're reading your one-year Bible or you're on a reading plan, January 1, you hit the ground running. Genesis, got it. Exodus, got it. Leviticus, derailed, is usually what happens. So a couple of things just to help you get the big picture of Leviticus is it's very, very easy to get unclean is a theme. It's very easy to get unclean, and it's got all of the different sacrifices. So all of the sacrifices, these either are, you're either saying, I'm sorry, or you're saying, thank you. And that's, so it's easy to get unclean, and it's, you're either saying, forgive me, or thank you. But we're going to look at Leviticus 23, and I encourage you to slow down, which we're going to do today, and kind of look at it, because in it contains all of the feasts that God ordained into the Jewish calendar. So before I get too far down, let me pray again. Father, as Knox said, that your word, it's the living word, it's active, it's true. The natural person cannot understand it because it's spiritually discerned. But Holy Spirit, you're our teacher, and we are able to understand it because of you. Lord, thank you for something that was written, or not written, verbally communicated from you to Moses in 14-something B.C., and it's still relevant today. You're amazing. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I titled it Leviticus 23, Feasting, Looking Back, Looking Forward. And then from The Fiddler on the Roof, the song Sunrise, Sunset. Sunrise, sunset, swiftly flow the days. And so this is important. I got to take just a minute so you understand how Jewish people told time. And so the key for this lesson is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So here's something from a place I found, a source. It says, in the Jewish calendar, a day, which means yom, begins at twilight or sunset. When the sun sets, the evening commences, and it ends the following sunset, the next sunset. So they weren't on a clock that started at midnight. They were at when the sun went down, then that you were inside that next day. And it says this reckoning applies to Sabbaths, festivals, overall calendar, differing from modern secular day that starts at midnight. Where this all came from, Genesis, which God downloaded to Moses, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Leviticus, which we're actually going to look at this verse, but this kind of tells it to you like it is. It shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict, which means to fast yourself, on the ninth day of the month, beginning, and notice this, at evening, from evening to evening shall you keep your Sabbath. So when the sun went down, you were now in the next day, until the next day when it went down. And then, so if you think about it, using our Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so Christ was on the cross. He died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were in a hurry to get him down off the cross and all of that because the sun was going down. And so he was in the tomb part of Friday and then all of Saturday, and then the resurrection was on Sunday. So here we are in Leviticus 23:32. We looked at this last week, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict or fast yourself on the ninth. No, I just read that verse. Sorry. Colossians 2:16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food, drink, with regard to a festival, new moon, or Sabbath. We looked at this verse last week. What this is saying, Paul is saying, let nobody pass judgment on you on food, which is all the dietary laws, on drink offerings, the festivals or the feasts that we're going to look at, new moon or Sabbath. And he said, because these were a shadow of the things to come, but the substance, the body, belongs to Christ. The author of Hebrews says, since the law has but a shadow of the good things, similar language, has a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it, the law, can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. So we're basically told by the New Testament to look at the Old Testament and look at all of these feasts and Sabbath days and understand that they're pointing to Christ. They're all going to point to Christ, and that's the objective this morning. So as I mentioned earlier, it was Moses got the download around 1446 B.C. Leviticus 23, the Lord spoke to Moses. So note that is that God is a communicating God. He talks to us. He spoke to Moses. And he said, if you read through Leviticus, it says over and over again, the Lord spoke to Moses, and then God said, speak to the people. Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as a holy convocation, a set-apart assembly, and they are my, Yahweh's, appointed feasts. These feasts are my feast, and I have them that you're going to observe every year for a reason. And I kind of like to put this in your mind, is it's like their calendar were all of these feasts, and when you put them all together, which we're going to look at, it's kind of like God's gospel track to the Jewish people in the whole Old Testament. Because every year they were repeating these things, and if they would take a second, like we are, to understand them. So the first was the Sabbath, which of course was once every 7 days. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is the Sabbath to the Lord in all of your dwelling places. And what we said basically last week is that Jesus, when he said it is finished at 3 o'clock on the afternoon, it's finished. The true Sabbath that all past Sabbaths pointed to were fulfilled. There's now no more work to be done. Jesus did all of the work needed for our redemption. Verse 4, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord, the holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the time appointed for them. So, first on deck, Passover. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, okay? First day of the month, because they got a new accounting system when they left Egypt. So he says, this is now the first day of the month, the 14th day of the month, at twilight. Twilight is when, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, thereabouts, that's when Jesus died. All the way back, this is all foretold. It's the Lord's Passover. Tell all the congregation, this is Exodus to get kind of the source material, tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of the month, okay, he said the 14th day, back in Exodus, it says on the 10th day of the month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. So what they would do is God says, go get you a lamb and get a lamb that's without blemish. And we're going to read here in the next verse. Let me just read it. The lamb you're going to go get shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day. So you go out and you get this little lamb, and you take it inside your house. And then 3 days later, you're going to kill that lamb. So if you got children, you don't name the lamb. So he says, keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. God says, I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And this was the 10th plague, and it's the firstborn of anyone in the land of Egypt, including the Jews and including the Egyptians. both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, because Moses said, kill the lamb, take the blood, put it on the doorpost and the lintel of your door. And then it says, God says, and when I see that blood, I will pass over you. No plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And I probably commented on this last week. You're inside the house and you have blood outside the door. And you're just the most rebellious. You've done all kind of awful, terrible things. What's going to happen to you that night? There's blood outside the door. Nothing. It's been done. You've been passed over. So the fulfillment of this, you go into the New Testament. John, the next day, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. 1 Peter, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So Jesus was the lamb that was all those prior lambs pointed to. Okay, so that takes care of Passover. Passover happened on the 14th, and they were in a hurry when Jesus was on the cross, like I mentioned, to get him down before the sun went down because the Sabbath was beginning. So you get into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This one's a little bit tricky. It says Leviticus 23, on the 15th day, okay, that's the day after the 14th, the 15th day of the same month in the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord, for 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. So you go back into Exodus. So he says, go get a lamb, get it on the 10th, kill it on the 14th. The very next day is when they left Egypt. And so there was no time to leaven your bread, and they left and got out of there. Their status went from being a slave to being free on this next day. So in Exodus, Moses is telling them, this day is going to be a memorial day. This is something we're going to memorialize and do all the time. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. It's a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove the leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. So it was a big deal. So you'd get the leaven out of your house is what they would do in subsequent memorial days when they would do this, always following the Passover. So Passover 14th, unleavened bread, you start eating it on the 15th. This still happens if you go to the out Preston Road, out north, where there's the big Tom Thumb. And you can go there and you can get matzah bread and all that kind of stuff. But when it's Easter or Passover weekend, you don't get any bread that has leaven in it at the grocery store. So in the New Testament, following this all the way through, Jesus at the Last Supper took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it as opposed to tore it. He broke it because it had no leaven in it. And he gave it to them saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And once again, Paul helps us understand what's going on. Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, your boasting is not good. The Corinthian church is like, man, we got it all together. They were a mess. And he goes, your boasting's not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Leaven became a metaphor for sin. Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. Okay, he's basically saying, you are without sin. Because when Jesus died, he took all of our sin, and then the very next day, you're unleavened. He took care of our sin by taking all of our sin on the cross and giving us his righteousness. A new lump, as you really are unleavened, for Christ, our Passover lamb, that couldn't be more clear, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So you got the Passover. The very next day, when the sun goes down, you're eating matzah. You're eating unleavened bread because there's no sin. Then you have this next feast, the Feast of First Fruits. Leviticus 23:10. Speak to the people of Israel. Say to them, when you come into the land, and he's been promising the land all the way from Abraham. I'm going to go to this place. You don't even know where you're going. And I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to give you the land. And he says, in the land that I give to you, reap a harvest, and you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits. So when you're growing something in an agricultural thing, something's going to grow first before the entire harvest comes in. And you're out there keeping your eyes, okay, here's something that's kind of blooming, and I'm going to get it, and this is what he says to do. Bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, so that you may be accepted. And here's when you do it. On the day after the Sabbath. So what day would that be? Sunday. The priest shall wave it. Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him, Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun has risen, and I love the fact that that's the S-U-N has risen at the same time that the S-O-N has risen, they went to the tomb. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, angel, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here." Okay? Remember, this is the festival of first fruits, the first thing to come out of being the tomb. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, Adam, and by a man, Jesus, has come also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in its own order, Christ, the first fruits, and then it is coming those who belong to Christ. So Christ was the first one to die, go in, be resurrected, and walk out, and he beat death. He beat it. We're still going to die physically, but we live forever. So when he says the first fruits, that at the coming of those who belong to Christ, let me take a second on that. He says later in 2 Corinthians, Paul goes, yes, we are of good courage. We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So when you die, you go into the presence of the Lord. Today you will be with me in paradise. You will be in the presence of the Lord, but you do not yet have your resurrected body. When Christ comes back the second time, he raises the dead in Christ first, and we get a fantastic, eternal, resurrected body. So we've seen the Passover lamb dies on the 14th, is in the tomb on the 15th. On the 16th, the resurrection happens, and then we're told in Leviticus 23, says, you shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath. So the day after, we're back on Sunday again, when the day after the Sabbath, from that day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. So you had your wave offering of first fruit. So you shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. Okay, a lot of math this morning. So here's the deal. Acts tells us, he, Jesus, presented himself alive to them, the disciples, after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them for 40 days. So when Jesus was resurrected, he hung around and he was in and around Jerusalem. Up to 400 or 500 people saw him at one time. And so he was on the earth for 40 days before his ascension. And speaking about the kingdom of God And while staying with them, he ordered them, the disciples, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he has said, you heard from me. And this is what he told them in Acts 1:8. You guys are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be, this isn't optional, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I've also mentioned this many times before. If you're a disciple, or if you're in Jerusalem, and Jesus did not raise from the dead, where would be the worst place to start Christianity? Jerusalem, because they can just go get his body, put it on a cart, roll it down Main Street of Jerusalem, and wouldn't happen. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, where would be the best place to start Christianity? Jerusalem. Saw him for 40 days. He saw all these people that had been healed. So, but that's more, he's saying, I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Judea is the rest of Israel. And then Samaria, which is now we're talking cross-cultural, because the Jewish people didn't like the Samaritans, because when they were conquered by the Assyrians, they intermarried and all that, and they were kind of considered, they broke the bloodline of Abraham. And to the end of the earth, so that's every tongue, tribe, and nation. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he, Jesus, was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. So remember, he told them, stay here. And 10 days later was the 50th day. It was from the 50th days after the Feast of First Bread. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind and filled the entire house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So that all happened, Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and then the coming of the Holy Spirit, his ascension. Fast forward into the seventh month of the year, because all of this stuff happened in the first month or two, but in the spring, in the fall, these are the fall festivals, they happened in rapid succession on the seventh month, the first day, the 10th day, and the 15th day. The first day is the Feast of Trumpets, which today is called Rosh Hashanah. Leviticus 23:24, speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with the blast of trumpets and a holy convocation. They don't give you a lot of what else you do, but you're blowing horns, it sounds like, all that day. Going into the New Testament to help us look backward, he, Jesus, will send out his angels, and with a loud trumpet call, they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So this is, we've seen he died for our sins. We're now unleavened without sin. We now have the Holy Spirit, and we're waiting for him to come back. And then he's going to come back with trumpets. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. That's when we get our resurrected body, and we shall be changed. 10 days, on the 10th day, 9 days after this, is the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur. Day of Coverings is what it really means. So it says, now on the 10th day of the seventh month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a holy convocation, and you shall afflict or fast your fast and present a food offering to the Lord. You shall not do any work on that very day, for it is a day of atonement to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. Okay, little backstory. Y'all have probably heard this a lot, but on every day, the priest would go, because the tabernacle big rectangle, had two rooms. Outside of the tent or the tabernacle, there is where you sacrifice the animal, shed its blood, and then the priest would go into the first section, which was called the holy place, and swap out the bread and burn incense and do all kind of stuff. But then once a year, only once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, who would have to have animals sacrificed for himself, they bathed him, they did all this stuff, and then he would actually go into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and pour the blood over it for atonement for all of Israel's sins. Now, the problem with that is what happens about 10 seconds after he does that? Everybody in Israel is still sinning. But it's a picture of what happens at the cross. They did one other thing. They would get these two goats that would come in, and they had names for them. I can't remember them. But the priest would lay his hands on one of the goats and kill it and take the blood and pour it over the altar. And then the other goat, he would lay hands on it. It was like transferring all the sin of Israel onto this goat, and they'd lead it away out into the wilderness. And as the Jewish people, if you read about the history, what they typically would do, they didn't want that goat with all the sin to come back into camp, so some guy would take it way out there and kill it. But that was just woven into this whole Day of Atonement. So finally, in Hebrews, helps us understand, but when Christ appeared as a high priest, who is the high priest, was the one that could go in, as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with the hands, that is, not of this creation, he, Jesus, our high priest, entered once and for all. Instead of going every year on the 10th for the Day of Atonement, he went in once for all into the holy places, not by means of blood and goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Hebrews 10:14, it's impossible for the blood of goats, of bulls and goats to take away sin. All of that livestock and animals that were slaughtered were just pictures of the one who could take away sin. For by a single offering, he, Jesus, has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. That is such a great verse. That's got justification in it. We've been perfected for all time. You can't mess it up. And he is also the one who is sanctifying us. Finally, you had the trumpets on the first, the Day of Atonement on the 10th, and here we are on the 15th day, and it's the Festival of Booths, which means tabernacles. So back to Leviticus, speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month, and for 7 days is the Feast of Booths to the Lord. Now, what that was to commemorate were a couple of things. It was getting out of Egypt, and they would live in tents because they were making their way to the Promised Land. But it also, and I want you to listen to this language closely because it should ring some bells. On the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, so this is something to do because they're now entering the Promised Land. They're supposed to do this, and they still do it to this day. You shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the eighth day shall be a solemn rest. And here's what you do. You shall take on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of leafy trees, willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. So you set up this tent, and you decorated it with splendid tree fruit and palm leaves and everything. What would that possibly be pointing back to?
Garden of Eden.
Garden of Eden. And so what he's saying is that this is a little recreation, because God's desire from the very beginning is, I'm going to dwell with man. And so they would live for 10 days or 7 to 8 days in a tent, just fellowshipping with God. He says, you shall dwell in the booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt, and that word dwelt is tabernacle. Among us, we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is what it was a recreation of before the fall. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That was Adam and Eve's great joy. Every day, a sinless, non-spoiled world, and they walked in with God. But because of sin, man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. One other thing that I didn't want to put in there, just in the interest of time, when you read all the details of when they were building the temple, there was all this wood carving that went everywhere and tapestries that were woven, and all the things were, there were like palm leaves, fruit, cherubim, all these things. So the tabernacle or the temple was like a mini portable Eden, because God would dwell in the camp of Israel. So, Revelation 21:3, to put a ribbon around all this, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God." Thus Moses declared to the people of Israel the appointed feast of the Lord. So just to review, Sabbath, you rest, you don't work, because we're in the Sabbath that Jesus created for us. You rest, you don't work. Passover, spotless lamb dies. Feast of unleavened bread, sin is removed. Feast of first fruits, the resurrection of Christ. Feast of Pentecost, the harvest comes in of all the first. He was the firstborn of many brethren. Feast of Trumpets, gathering of the saints. Feast of the Day of Atonement, judgment and cleansing. Feast of Booths, God dwelling with His people. So that is Leviticus 23. Harvest. Yeah, every tongue, tribe, nation. Yeah, we're perpetually in the Sabbath now. Yeah. All right, let me close in prayer. Lord, You are amazing. As we read through Your Bible, it is living, it's active, it's historical, it points to things that haven't even happened yet. So Lord, way back in 1446, You downloaded to Moses to observe all this so that it would be a memorial, but it would also be a picture of You, Christ, is that You died as the Lamb without blemish. You went into the tomb. You rose from the dead, the first fruit. Because You rose from the dead, we have no sin, no leaven. Lord, it's amazing. In Jesus' name, amen.